pursue my undergrad. And I thought about marketing because Mr. Arden would be chatting on this public speaking. Arden, you know, events, you know, look at the high school events, the basic Grace Kennedy, you see somebody go up in brand money, you say, all right, then this look like it. And then we realized, I mean, I like numbers.
True, that turned me off.
That was me.
That accounting. It's a
accounting firm. We say accounting and Mr. Stats. You say, what is? So,
that is my passion.
That's the reason why I went in marketing.
Firm. Hold on.
That is my passion.
We
say,
accounting. So, for an account, we said, I got to take it up. Wait, last semester? Like that?
No.
Try
and no.
Worst thing ever. So, feel that.
No.
Yeah, that influenced my decision.
So,
oh,
that's why
you chose IMT. Yeah, because at first I went around marketing and I applied and got in for marketing at Southside, but then I'm like, wait, Southside is math and it's something. No wonder that I'm math. And then I found out about IMT and I'm like, ah, cool, this is me.
I applied for the programs and stuff. I saw the numbers and I said, okay, I don't like numbers. So, what else entails talking and that kind of shit? Well, I won't take it for granted. Then we find out about I knew journalism was fun before, but again, you know, I was like, okay, then probably I should do the journalism and I applied for that. When I went to the orientation, I was about to switch to IMC because I never knew about IMC. And Faye Ellington looked at me and she said, You don't have to switch from journalism to IMC. Because by getting a journalism degree, you can apply that to any profession that you go into.
And to feel not easy.
And she was one who changed my mind.
And to feel not easy.
Anyway, so after I get that, but then all I care about, for 3 years and everybody thinks I'm going to do IMC. Yeah. Because what I did was, I studied journalism, but I started to get involved with like Campus Phase, which was a TV show. It was one of the guests them one time, and so that's how we met. We did I did Campus Phase, but then I started thinking about, okay, but I still like marketing. When my internship opportunity came up, the communication manager at the time at Yellow, Jeremy Kelly at the time, reached out to her and said, you know, I need to learn how to do journalism. I want to learn the marketing and bring over the communication side. And she gave me the opportunity. So I was able to bring all of that from learning journalism to marketing, but going there and learning about marketing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like, all right, the social media. I don't know how this works. We just know for posts and stuff. I learned about social media from this digital manager there at the time. The brand plans and promotions and stuff like that. This was at Yellow Pages. Yellow Pages, no Yellow, but Yellow Pages at the time. I'm gonna start learning all them stuff there. And then right when we done my internship, them say, yo, we need it, but come on as a freelancer.
Freelancer
because I was still in school. I did a freelancing job for a year. And that is when I started literally like making my money. That was the time I started like earning and understanding certain things like value, money and salary and time and stuff like that, because up to university I never knew what kind of salary to ask for if I leave. Yeah, I think so $100,000, I think about $80,000, and then when you go somewhere we expose you to like $3 million, like my first
$3 million.
You know, you're going on one job and then you realize that $3 million, you might be earning $3 million, which was major for me because I'm like,
I thought you had so enough money.
$3 million, and then I couldn't even talk to my colleagues and because everybody doesn't make member tax. Everybody I make one. But then when you look at you realize now, say, yo, you know, even stuff like those, like calculating certain things and living expenses and stuff like that, you're not thinking about that in a university. Yeah, things are.
You don't think about that.
No, majority. We're not thinking about that.
We don't think about that.
No.
Okay.
No. You cannot study right now in the class. Yeah. You cannot study.
I know. They are not.
Yeah, but you're in my.
But me.
No, and that's why you're here.
Trust me.
And that's why you're having a conversation. Mm-hmm. That's why you're standing out. Legit, the majority is thinking as a sheep.
We are.
And party and clothes.
Not only that, but also
you don't think about what it is.
We just want past.
You're not thinking about if you take out rent,
If you go,
okay.
If you go, take a one look at care, what the expenses look like, we were not thinking about that. So one day, my friend have a conversation, and she, like Leon, was a little bit more matured in terms of thinking, and I'm like, oh, me no mind leave work, me no mind leave university and work for $80,000 a month. And she's like, Jody, are you ridiculous? And I said, but them time me live Augustown, so me can walk go campus or me can just walk whatever, take the bus, take taxi go work or whatever, and. She said, no, Jody, ridiculous, but she was a little bit more exposed. She said, the minimum I'm asking for, should I get into a job right now, is $150,000 take home. And I said, where I get that from? And then that is when I realized, say, yo, there's so many things to take into perspective. You're thinking about taxes, you're thinking about living expenses, you're thinking about if I go pay rent, you're thinking about.
If you're sick.
Or say, more care.
So by the time you look, you realize it. But guess what? A lot of us were not equipped with that knowledge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of us are not. And it's very important. That's why I'm a great Chris and other persons who are really making a change to kind of educate young people about certain things. Resume writing on something there. Yo, that's something major because that's the first opportunity you get to interact with somebody.
Yes.
That's the first opportunity you get to reach out to a brand, and resume look like shit.
You can say it.
Not easy.
Yeah.
Resume.
And let me tell you something.
Not in PDF.
This are big people too, because when they were hired for Upper Yellow, but in the Barbados office, and some resume are coming. That's
how
the
is
first point of contact you're getting. You know what I mean? So yeah, let me try to tell the story.
Enough, you know, they're competent for the job. It's just that we don't know that.
We don't.
It's just on paper they make it seem like they're shit.
And some little other ethics that I get up on an interview. My girl met the third one, and the girl push a friend on a cafe or something. We do the interview. Cock a crow in the background. Nice. And this is that you're coming. You're looking for. You're about to work with a major brand. You know what I mean? Sometimes look at ethics as well. But back to the story. So we do my internship. Start freelance for them. 1 year into the role. Right after university. Novia McDonald, white glasses from Observer. She and I did an event and she was in my scheme to offer me a job as a lifestyle reporter or something like that. I hated print journalism while in Caramac and I took up the offer and I did 1 month because I knew my worth. Not that me and Novia had anything, it's just that I used the 1 month to sharpen my writing skills. She was really good to work with, she's tough, she's strict. But I think they kind of going to change up the status quo because everybody afraid to talk to her workers because of the type of management style that she has. But we go down there with a different energy. But she calls me every day and says, I'm a good steward them. I'm a good steward them in a meeting together because I know my words. She couldn't deal with me a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But 1 month in, I said, boy, Ayana from Yellow come and said, Joe, we need a full time now. I said, no, man. Yeah. So I was.
And you're on the flip side.
You know what I mean? I was, and it's not just that opportunities come at me or whatever, but you build relationship with people.
I built
a relationship with Yellow 1 year before they actually offered me to come on full time with them. So enough people see a success and enough people see, say, you know, you're under the path to success, and they don't know. You know what I mean? So after that, I start working on things, and then I know, say, boy, at the back of my mind, I always want this marketing thing.
Question, right?
And then decide.
Would you say a degree made sense for your job, no?
Yeah, it did. Because majority of the stuff I've done required. It required a level of uniqueness, and I think that level of uniqueness came from the experience I had while at Caramac in terms of doing broadcasts and stuff, because a lot of persons in marketing did not have that skill.
Mm, they don't.
So a lot of marketers are not good communicators.
They don't have that people touch.
They're managers.
A lot of people who are marketers are not good communicators. And I was able to, because I'm an undergrad and I'm learning at school, I was able to separate myself from the pack. So if there were any opportunities that came up, Joel go host this, Joel, you do the opening, Joel, you do the welcome, you do this, because I was a communicator. So, you know, anything to do with creatives and speaking and interviews and meet them as in. Because...
And then expose it to a different audience.
That exposes it to a different audience and BBC and stuff like that. So... It did have its benefits. However, even though I have a master's, I didn't pay for it. Somebody else paid for it. I'm decided to go and stress out myself for 2 years with stats and Finman, financial manager accounting.
Who paid for it?
No man. Scholarship. But
a degree isn't all that. I'm going to like I have them, but it's not all that.
It's just on paper.
It's just
like an extra thing that you have.
It depends. Again, it comes down to personality and comes down to what you want, because at the end of the day, you can't, if you're not outgoing and have a name for yourself, like one of my brethren, Jason, I don't think Jason finished in undergrad. And Jason has self-taught himself how to do Google and digital and stuff like that. And Jason's like an agent lecturer, with management and digital campaigns and stuff. But Jason not done him undergrad. I don't think Jason done him undergrad. But Jason has built an empire for himself.
A profile for himself.
A profile so he can comfortably be hired by anybody. Because of reputation. But if you just didn't know, I don't even know any degree, I could go work for you.
Okay.
And then
so
what
do you think about taking jobs that you hate? Do you think it's necessary? Or like it's a whole part of it to like take jobs that you hate or that you're uncomfortable in
Me hear people talk about that all the time, but again it depends on yourself. For if you're not better to do and you want some money,
yeah,
then go do it. What else you gonna do? But it depends on the mindset that you're going there with. Right? If you're going there with a mindset that says, alright, I'm coming as a work for 2 months. I hate the place, but I'm never learning. I'm never do 2 or 3 months. Mindset has a lot to do with your working ethics, you know. Like sometimes you go somewhere and you're like, yo, I can't deal with this, and you get caught up with so many other things that the surrounding is bringing up, not on what your intentions were initially going in there. A lot of people get sidelined by those kind of distractions, you know. I had to learn, I'm never perfect. When I just started in the corporate world, it was tough-ish. I'm always have a don't care attitude, but probably that's just me.
But certain things
kind of throw you off guard sometimes. And
yeah.
As a result of that, you live and you learn and you bounce back and you free certain things and you make adjustments and whatever. But working in an environment that you do not like, you won't know if you like it or dislike it until you actually get there, because you've also heard of places where, oh, no good on this, go work, but your personality and behavior might just fit in for another place. So I don't really believe in that myth. I think it's a myth.
Okay.
You have places we've heard of before that are toxic work environments and stuff like that. I really think it.
And people thrive there.
So meet you every day is a digital toxic. Every day meet you. That's missing. But missing people are going on there every day.
Nobody's on there.
Nobody's going to live for you.
So you know what I mean? It really. I think that's a myth, and I think it boils down to personality. I think it boils down to what you're bringing to the table. No one gives me a picture,
with regards to like, okay, so you said you worked, you freelanced with
Yellow for a year
while still in school.
How
did you
manage
time as well as to not spread yourself too thin? Because did other opportunities come up? Did you refuse other opportunities because you were already freelancing and going to school? How did you preserve yourself so to not, you know, run yourself to a shred while trying to, you know, build a name, because now I have to capitalize on all these opportunities in order to build a name?
The manager was able to work with me with the schedule and stuff. She was willing to work with me.
And this is you sharing and communicating?
This is me sharing and communicating that while I have another year and stuff. She gave me most of the promotions and stuff to handle. So we normally coordinate like some schoolmates and stuff with the ambassadors and certain projects that we had and stuff. And kind of just looking at it as, yo, at the end of the day, you still need to done school. So luckily she was relaxed and able to deal with that. And sometimes a part of the challenge with us young people, we don't ask and we don't know how to present ourselves, and we don't know how to present some things and communicate with people so that it's clearly defined. Because sometimes the managers, then you can't, you know, communicate so well with them, they're not gonna know what you ask for. You know what I mean? So if I want to take from this, be very clear in your communication, because it does causes confusion and stuff for managers, especially. They don't have the time, they don't have that, you know, they remember everything we tell them. So be careful about that. But yeah, she was willing to do that. Then me, you know, I understood and realized that I had a mandate to complete school as well. So some projects we couldn't do because of exam time,
some projects we could do, and just kind of pace myself, you know.
My question. So, I'm not sure you read through the questions I sent you for the moment.
No, that's
fine. But I'm telling you. Okay. So, I'm sending a book based off the idea that there's a mentorship gap. Meaning that there are a lot of students who want to do a lot of big things, but they don't know what's the first step. You know, tend to emulate the bigger ones, like, you know, Usain Bolt, the Gary Masala, or Yannick Page, but they're middle persons who are not well known, but they've done great things.
Yeah.
And I'm sure even in your work capacity, like, somebody has said, finding mentorship from. You got a mentorship from.
Absolutely.
So, my question is, of course, how do you handle it?
Boy, that's a damn good question.
Because I'm sure other person gonna go through different jobs, achievements, success, and people that are afraid.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. That's a good question because from very young, I normally get backlash and stuff like that because I'm always outgoing. You know, you go in a primary school, you don't know. You go high school, you just present yourself as this, you know, whatever, and uppity and whatever. But from a very tender age, I can't remember really, probably 16, 17, I decided to have my own thick skin. I don't know any negativity. No joke, guys. It's a mental thing that I developed from I was 16 or 17, and I don't know when I'm going to do it. I'm dead serious, you know. Like, it's just mental thing where it's like somebody comes to me, oh, you know, say, think they'll chat to you. Oh, wow. We'll have a later.
I have my thing.
And I mean it.
I have my thing that when people talk about you, you are important. So the time they talk about you, you're important to them.
And people always say shit. People always have something to say. But how I deal with it though, I don't deal with it. Because when I say it, I mean it. Like, I don't know how.
You're
like,
not insistent.
And the thing is, there's a difference between and there's a thin line with it as well, because you have to know how to accept criticism. Because when everybody come to you and talk to you about something, I come bad mind. No. So you sometimes must look into yourself as well and see like where your gaps are and whatever. Like one time somebody said to me one time, I don't remember, but there's a thin line. You must know when people come with actual good criticism that you can apply to your development and self-worth.
Friendship between constructive criticism and
bad mind. There's a difference. But you have bad mind. You know what bad mind?
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, and then you're gone, and then that's a bad, you know. And then you have people who try to undermine your achievements as well.
And even your daily struggles. I don't know what your struggles are.
They don't.
They might see you and they might say you're hungry.
Yeah. Definitely. Absolutely.
Especially on the campus. You get me? Because a lot of students go to different things, but they just pick up a facade because they don't want to look at the trouble.
Yeah.
Or
never ever do that, guys.
I live in Kitty, you know, for North Park there?
Yeah.
The cemetery, I live past North Park and walk. When I used to take the student bus, I used to have to leave house at 5:30. Then time the dog now walk, and I'm only going to take my almost gateway, get take away in a taxi, my one time the taxi driver with me, and it's when, like, you come to a T-junction. Like, you know, you have to go down at the T-junction. When the man stop at the T-junction, I stick my hand through the window, I'm flick the door, I'm flick out of the taxi, and I take it through the boat.
Thanks.
I
say,
my
hand
for 10 minutes, you know, oh my God.
Reckless.
No, my back, the palm of my back, I'm just driving. Right, palm of my back, I'm two straps, right. So the palm of my back, I'm still watching the air, and it's like, because in flight, the child lock, but then the window was slightly down. Me mad a long time, you know. So me stick my hand through the window, I'm going to flick the door. Holy my things got you, I needed to drive. The Lord blessed me this past, how was it? September, October. I left the car and I'm told, never have the license, either that take this. started driving in January.
Mm-hmm.
Illegally. And but I got my license.
It's on the record, but okay. Good. You have your license, no?
I have my license, no. I've got my license, my insurance, everything. Good now. And so yeah, so you know, I can take myself to school. My gas tank is never past a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Never have more than quarter tank, I guess. When I start drive, I don't know what off tank look like.
Mm-hmm.
Right? My mother, she sews. So she will look, she will take all her old pillowcase and she make it a dress all tight.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother makes sure someone have nice clothes and tea. The other day when I was at school, this girl, now if you know someone around Karen, I couldn't know some ever sell some banana chips jello.
Mm-hmm.
I rather sell it before I did.
Yeah.
So this girl, she saw me, you know, and I was like, hi, because the day I was selling gelato, I was like, how would you like to buy some gelato? She was like, I don't know if I come here and sell fine because it's not like you need it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need it. You ever look good, you need that, your shoes and feet, your ear ever do, and you dry. What can you keep on our shirt, on our pants? You don't need nothing. You put on the gelato in your hair, and then you make money. Yes, I'm not for that kids in town. Buy the gelato. People don't know what you're showing you. So I mean, as Chris said, you put on a good face and all of them something there, guess the cheap, right? About my care what service
Yeah.
So you put on a good face and people don't know what's going on.
And I feel I have a very strong view about that. Nobody the world and if no struggles.
You don't know.
I come from Augustine I'm born and grew. Okay. And my thing is, it's not a big deal. You know what I mean? Because if I go somewhere to speak or whatever, I mean, if you mention something, I'm a successful young man. Why do I need to show my struggles?
Yeah.
I know your struggles contribute to building you and building you as an individual, but why should I always, I don't need to do that.
You have to have some kind of terribly hard story.
Exactly.
Live on a road and trying to find the money.
My thing is, you know, it's just different.
Why they do that is to relate to the audience, so the audience can relate to this.
Mm-hmm.
So they give that little background information before
mm-hmm.
they speak what directly they're
mm-hmm.
going to do.
Hello, honey.
Huh?
Call me the people on my record. My record
oh my god, I'm so sorry, pardon me.
Yeah, but I don't feel, and Daniel can't even attest to it. We don't need to show struggles all the time. Daniel? We have to show struggles every minute?
No, we don't.
I don't know. If you're successful and you're in your work and you look at something, them look at things you can push as well. It should not always be about the struggle thing. And I'm not saying there's not a place for it. So when people come to you and say, oh, you have put on face and you put on this, you put on that. No, you're not. You are living, as long as you live your truth.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so my question
as long as you live your truth.
So how has, talking about struggles in energy, so how has failure or apparent failure
mm-hmm.
has set you up for success in
some way? It humbled me.
Humbled?
Yeah, man, humbled. Because sometimes we get ahead of ourselves as well. Sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and we think that not necessarily know it all, because I never ever tried to operate with a know it all attitude, but sometimes we get ahead of ourselves and sometimes we make some bad decisions and some bad choices and what it does, especially when that bad choice or bad decision results in actually a failure, it's humbling because you learn. You have to have a humbling spirit though, because some people feel like, say, even when it fails, I still not me and I still not say it though. So it's very critical to learn from the failures and learn from the mistakes, because you only can become better and you actually not going to repeat it and be very comfortable in your failures and your mistakes as well, because that build you up actually deal with anything that might come. It build you up, saying, your mental breakdown with something, you know, very simple reach or anything like that. It really helps you build you up when you you feel like, say, at the end of the road, at the end of the day, or you're completely disappointed by something, and you know that just happens, and you just end up, because of the prior experiences, you actually end up dealing with the shit. Mm-hmm. So that's how we deal with it. And on that note, it's almost 4 o'clock.
Any final question?
Go ahead and ask while I finish formulating mine. I want to be right. So, you're invited to a dinner party, right? And you have to choose five guests. Whether they're alive, whether they're dinner, made of only invited ones.
Wow. Well, one person, definitely my big sister. My big sister and I are very close. She's alive. My other sister who passed, because I feel like she'll be super proud now in terms of some of the stuff that I've accomplished.
Should I have an answer?
Yeah, okay. Trust me. There's one of my mentors, older lady, you know, she has basked into most of my success. Her name is Ingrid Bachelor. She's my charity organization I work with. She's one of the directors then. She's really, like, she's been there from day one in terms of, like, she have come to dinner. My mother put at the dinner too.
But
one little thing there, one little, you know, because my big sister was also like my mother, and my big sister was a little bit more, not saying my mother does everything, I live with my mother does everything for me. I'm a bitch spread, she does everything, literally. But my bigger sister, in terms of activities and stuff like that, it was kind of like more, you know,
hands-on.
Who else come to dinner? One more somebody up at the dinner?
Anybody?
Me, no.
When we come here.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. So it's very
family-centric.
Yeah, very family-centric. Because our family did it, you know. Me have some real. Oh, my best friend have come. Akim have come.
I mean, you want to come?
Yes.
You get a job.
Oh yeah, but yeah. That's a good question, though, Chris. It goes to show, like, valuable people. Sometimes you need to have the valuable people on the tip of your tongue. Yeah. Any question?
Question. So, okay, when you're just leaving school and going out in the working world, whatever you're doing, one organization follows you.
Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Your past.
What happens when you're blown out of an organization? You know, how do you bounce back from that? How do you convince the next interview that they get into that, listen, I'm not this person anymore, I will not freak it up. Trust me.
Just freak it up?
There's two things. The first thing is never ever burn your bridges. Because if you don't burn a bridge, you will never go somewhere and you hear bad things when you got an interview. Be very careful.
You never know who knows.
That's the only advice I can give to that one. Don't burn the bridges, because people are connected. Managers are connected. Everybody went
to the same high school.
Share the same
short-term
mentor. Trust me. So that's the only advice I have on that one. Do not burn any bridges. Don't. No matter how much you hate your manager or hate the workplace, we exit interview, because you never go back to deal with it. Nobody bring no grievance and anything and any heavyweight. Jamaica very smart. And when you go to another job and they ask why you left, even if you left on bad terms, be very careful about that, because that says a lot about your character.
Okay.
I have left my work now. I have to tell the people where I go to next. Oh, you know, say Corey J.A. was a dumb. Yeah, it says a lot about your character. So be very careful about that.
Alright, so speak about character, right? What advice would you give your 15-year-old self, right?
15?
You see, right now, small, look at your full of zeal. What advice would you give him?
Not doing tracks, clearly.
Because I
good one. Good one. You have a base on the champ. You have a love medal, like 18 medal from primary school. You have a love medal. You do that. Maybe that TBT. Continue.
Continue,
right? I'm actually happy with my product, which family they know. But I tell him for continue the way I do.
Okay.
I don't really see really bad decisions I've made. Probably be more open to challenges. Because if I would have told my younger self that, because I would have end up doing marketing as a first degree. But then again, if you do that as first degree, probably would have done. Yeah.
But that's it.
Continue where you're young. You know, that's what I would tell him.
What